Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, why are the rooms in the Anne Frank House empty of furniture? As is well known, Anne Frank was a Jewish girl living in Amsterdam who went into hiding with seven other people to escape from the Nazis during World War II. They all took refuge in a hidden annex of her father's business premises and were helped by some of his employees until they were betrayed and deported to concentration camps. During the 2 years that they were in hiding, Anne wrote a diary and short stories, and she developed into a talented writer. The only survivor was Anne's father, Otto, who returned to Amsterdam after the war and arranged for his daughter's diary to be published as a book. The diary's been translated into more than 70 languages and published in over 60 countries. More than 30 million copies of Anne's diary have been sold. In cooperation with Otto Frank, the Anne Frank House was set up as a charitable, independent, non-profit organization dedicated to the preservation and opening to the public of Anne Frank's hiding place and to bring her life story to the attention of as many people as possible worldwide. We recently visited the Anne Frank House and spoke with Anne-Marie Becker of the Communications Department. Thank you very much for speaking with us, Anne-Marie. Could you tell us first about the origins of the house as a museum, when it first opened, and why, and who did it?
Yes, well, the eight people in hiding, only Anne's father, Otto Frank, survived the war, the horrible terrors of the concentration camps. So he was liberated by the Russians from Auschwitz. Took some months before he returned to Amsterdam, and he picked up the business also to help the helpers. And then when he heard on the day that his daughters died in Bergen-Belsen, Miep Gies, one of the helpers, gave him the diary papers of Anne, which he had saved for all this time. And he started reading and got so intrigued by it and decided to let the wish of his daughter come true and to have it published. And so the diary was published in 1947, translations followed, and a lot of people got interested in the story of Anne Frank and what happened here. And also Americans came to visit, a lot of Americans already, when this building was still a business.
Was that after the diary was published?
Yes, that was in the 50s. And then it was about to be demolished, because another company bought it. And the major and other citizens said, no, this is a very important place, we have to keep this. So Otto got help from others, influential people, and they managed to have this place be saved. And in 1957, the Anne Frank House organization was established, and 3 years later, the house became a museum, open for the public to see the history of the eight people in hiding, the helpers, during the 40s.
Can you tell us something about the contents?
Well, what we say, we are not a national Shoah museum. We don't give lots of information about what happened during the Second World War, the Jewish persecution. We do, of course, give this information, but mainly it's for visitors to experience, to be in the place where Anne Frank and the others were in hiding, where she wrote her diary. So what you see is her father's business. You see the warehouse where people in the warehouse didn't know about the people in hiding. And because it's old and connected, the front house and the back house, you had to be quiet. That's what also Anne writes in her diary. Then you go to the offices where the helpers worked and helped the people in hiding. And then, well, the famous bookcase everyone knows, the original bookcase. You enter and you go from freedom to unfreedom. You go to the secret annex where the eight people were living for more than 2 years. And, well, you see like little things, the growing marks Otto had of his both daughters and Anne's sister was already big. She grew a little, but Anne grew like 15 centimeters in those 2 years. You see the pictures that Anne pasted on the wall, the original pictures from movie stars, queens, princesses. But also when she developed, she became more interested into art and history. So you see a Rembrandt, Pieta, and, well, some little belongings from the people in hiding. And also very important, you see the original diary papers of Anne Frank.
Something that I thought was interesting and I think meaningful is that the rooms are empty of furniture. Can you explain why? Because there are models of what they were like and there are photographs of, that were reconstructed. But can you explain why the rooms don't have the furniture in them?
Yes. When Otto Frank returned and when this house became a museum, he said, I want the house to stay empty. Because after the arrest, which was common when Jews were arrested, the furniture was also taken out. A few days later, sent to Germany. And Otto Frank said, I don't want replica furniture. I want it to be empty because it symbolizes the emptiness of the others that didn't come back. And, well, we still keep to this mission Otto Frank gave to us.
But it is interesting that there are models that were made according to his descriptions, right?
Yes, yes. So Otto Frank really had these scale models made for the visitors to have an idea how it looked like when it was furnished during their days. They're not the right scale, but apart from that, well, you see the table where Anne Frank wrote her diary on, you see the beds, the bicycle Peter took with him when he went into hiding, all those things. You even see like the dentist equipment from Fritz Pfeffer, and Anne describes that also in her diary, that he uses it like he had to, it was mechanical, so no electricity. And well, very nice to have the scale model that Otto Frank had made.
Tell us about the changes that have taken place in the building itself and in the museum, because there have been two major renovations since it was opened, right?
Well, one really major, that was in the 90s, when this new part, so you have the house, the front house, the back house, the company, the secret annex. And besides that, there's a new part where we have the entrance, the bookshop, the museum cafe, and more important, room for exhibitions.
What kind of exhibitions have you had?
Well, we had exhibitions about human rights now. We now have an exhibition about reflections on Anne Frank, what Anne Frank means to people, which is so different. People come here from all over the world and have meaning with Anne Frank or relationship with Anne Frank. And we now have an exhibition about Anne Frank herself, because people are mostly interested in Anne Frank.
Yeah, you mentioned the reactions of people who come. How many visitors do you get? Because I think there's always a big, big, big long line outside. Do you have any idea how many visitors you get and how many of them leave feedback or what kind of feedback people leave? Is there a difference, let's say, in people from different countries, the kind of feedback or anything?
Well, I can say more in general. We have more than 1.2 million visitors every year for over a few years already. And now it's not too busy, but in summer and other holiday periods, it's very busy. And you've been there, you see how small the secret annex is. So, yeah, people need to wait to get in and see the secret annex. And they come from all over the world, from Europe, United States, South America, Japan, Australia, Israel. And it depends, but mainly people know Anne Frank's story. They can relate to her story. Yeah, especially because they've as a young child, heard her story, read her diary. And she's so universal. She touches on so many levels as growing up and expectations of the world, fear, and being so honest about what she sees and also about herself. A lot of humor also. And this tragic story that a young girl, such talented girl, was killed at the age of 15 only because she was Jewish. So people want to be here, see this place, see where she wrote her diary. And I think that's the main reason. And what they write, it's different, but it's most people are very touched by being here and experiencing this place and write something personal about Anne Frank, what she means to them. Never again, you see a lot, this history.
Can you tell us something about the educational programs that you do for young people all over the world? First, describe what kind of programs you have, and then who uses these programs? Do they come here? Do you send programs overseas? How does that work?
Yes. Well, we have here educational programs too. And we invite school groups to come to have a program to learn more about Anne Frank and the Second World War and the Jewish persecution. And then they go see the museum. But we also have traveling exhibitions for years already all around the world. And we have partners worldwide. And that's very important because we need these partners. This traveling exhibition also tells the story of Anne Frank and the Second World War. And what we do, we train children, students, to become a guide and to guide youngsters, so fellow students, fellow pupils. And this works very well because young people really listen to people of their age or a little bit older. And they also get to talk about topics that Anne Frank touches, like prejudice, discrimination, and also what it means to them, because a lot of people know about prejudice and discrimination, one more than the other. And Anne Frank's story is a good story to talk about these topics and what it does to you and what you see in your environment for young people.
One of the comments that was made by someone in the very last visual that you have, the video that you have with different people talking about their memories and Anne Frank, one of the women said that everybody knows Anne Frank, she wrote the diary, but there were obviously many, 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 many more people who suffered the same kind of persecution. Do you know if there were any other cases of families who were in hiding, who maybe survived the war, but who didn't write about it? The Netherlands, I think, was very unique during World War II because I think that it had been a very kind of open, free society. And, of course, after it was invaded, I think all the Dutch suffered. Of course, the Jews more, but all the Dutch suffered a lot. Can you tell us a little bit about that, about the situation maybe of the Dutch under the Nazis? And I know a lot of Dutch helped the Jews, too. What that was like and how maybe it was different from other places?
Well, it's different per country. For the Netherlands, I can say the Nazis really did it very trickfully. Step by step, they excluded the Jews. And first, it started friendly, and then they had to all register. And because Dutch, like German, are also very strict and organized, so they registered, the Jews were registered, and later it became clear that, they were picked up, arrested, and sent to concentration camps. And that's really a very sad thing that this administration was set up so well, and that therefore a lot of Jews could be arrested. And I think many people are, of course, also afraid to be punished, so the risk of helping Jews was very big. You would get penalty and were murdered as well, like the Jews. So the helpers here in this story, very brave people to risk your life in order to help Jews. And I think there are little people that are heroes, because most people are afraid to lose their life or the life of their children. I think that's everywhere. There are not so many people that have this courage to help others in this kind of situation.
Is there anything else that you can tell us that we might have left out?
Well, you already asked for our educational mission, which is important because Otto Frank gave us two missions, to open this house for the public and also to have this educational mission to tell Anne's story in order to prevent prejudice and discrimination. And so that's what we do both ways.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner at RadioSephora.com. See you next week.